Hello and welcome to this week's Comic Roast. I am your host, Scott, and you can find me on Twitter at XorsonX. I'm here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. You can find all of our written reviews and whatnots on reviewandroast.com, and you can find all of our podcasts at comicroast.com. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast, and on the Instagram and pretty much everywhere else. Oh, and that's right. If you'd like to start supporting us, you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/reviewandroast. We have, three different levels, $1, $3, $5. Not asking too much, but hey, every little bit helps. So, our number one for today is actually kind of an old one, but it's apparently getting a lot of buzz. So I believe they're coming up on issue 5. We're going to talk about number 1 just in case, you haven't heard of it yet. It's called Heathens number 1. Duh. To go right along with that, our over under is going to be stuff to having to do with Vikings. So let's get right to it.
Circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now?
I had to fill a void.
Oh, I know, but it didn't need to be filled. Well, or maybe it did.
Maybe it did.
It's been 2 weeks because did we do one last week? I don't think we did because of the 4th of July.
Off. Other stuff.
So, yeah, we've been pretty busy lately.
Way too busy.
Yeah, unfortunately, but we have done...
It's cramping my fucking style, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree. Some neat things have happened recently. I'm assuming Dice Forge is a fairly new game. I don't know if anyone's really heard of it, but the second our store got it, Mr. Mike bought it, and we played it the other night, me, Mike, and Jeff, or Jeff, Mike, and I, to be proper. And every single time we played, I'm like, dude, this is super frustrating. This game is not that great, but let's play it one more time. This game sucks, but let's try it one more time. And we literally played it like 8 times. We're going to do a podcast on it pretty soon. I actually think it's coming out. Actually, I think this week we're going to do one on it. So get ready for that. I won't ruin too much more of it. But I think we played some other newer stuff too. But I can't really think right now. Got a headache.
Played Karuba a few times.
We did play Karuba a few times.
I think that's it.
Yep.
No, well, Mike played Unlock and I watched. That was weird.
Yeah, that game.
I can't give a proper gauge on what I thought because I literally just walked in and out of the room because I was like, well, I think this is turning into a one-player game here.
The problem with Unlock is, at least from what I gather, it's a game for 1 to 6 people, and like every action or everything is on these little playing cards, and unless everybody can see the cards or the person looking at them reads them out loud to everybody, you kind of can't include that many people. Unless everyone had their own deck, maybe then it might be able to do a thing, but I don't know, whatever. I mean, it's kind of neat because you use your phone to play too. There's an app that goes along with it, but it's I highly recommend that if anyone is playing that, and again, we'll talk more about it, I would assume, when we do a podcast on it in the next couple of weeks, but I think everyone should either have their own deck or the person controlling the cards needs to either pass them around or read them out loud to everybody. Something, I don't know. Anywho, enough about all those games and stuff. I think we're just going to jump right into the number one, because I feel like there hasn't been much going on here. You know what I mean? We've been super busy, but it's all just been moving stuff and not doing fun stuff. So we're going to jump right in here.
Yeah, there's been a severe lack of fun stuff.
So it's Heathens number one on Vault Comics. It's a couple months old at this point. But basically the story is it opens up with this Viking by the name... I just had it, too. What an idiot. Adis. She has been outcasted from her clan. Basically, her and another Viking lady were caught kissing, and their fathers had a choice. Either marry them off to a male Viking, or you need to kill them. Well, Adis's father couldn't bear himself to murder his own daughter, so I guess he pretended to murder her because he was seen at her grave grieving kind of thing, but meanwhile she just skipped town is what she did. And as Viking legend goes, there's a Viking god by the name of Brynhild. Not going to go into her complete backstory, but she is on top of Mount Hinderfall, surrounded by flames, waiting for a Viking brave enough to come and break through the flames to rescue her. Well, this is what Adis has decided is her new mission in life. She's casted out of her society, and she's going to go and try and free this god. And I don't know, that's just kind of where this story is leading at this point. But basically, the story is Adis out there making her way to the mountain. She's visited briefly by Victoria, maybe is her name. I don't know. The girl she was caught kissing back in town or whatever. And she's like, well, my dad, you know, he's marrying me off. And I think it's going to be a good thing. You know, the guy's, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we did something wrong. And Adis is trying to convince her, like, we didn't do anything wrong. We're not broken. There's nothing wrong here, you know. And it's, you know, kind of weird that this stuff still, those attitudes last even to this day. But it's whatever. And then she's visited by a god who is kind of a lesser god. Just tried to trick her and get information, more or less. I'm not going to ramble about his name or anything. But then they just split ways, and she continues on her quest to go free this god from the mountaintops. That's the basic gist of the story. I don't know if Brian's got anything to add, or if I glossed over too much or said too much. I don't know.
No, that's kind of it. That's basically the gist of the story.
It's got the real, like, scratchy style artwork, which I've always dug that kind of
that style. The artwork is really good,
yeah,
in this. The writing's pretty good as well, although, without sounding like kind of, without trying to sound kind of pig-headed, I guess, I'm not really sure if the romance angle fits this type of story necessarily. I mean, I guess you could really tell this type of story with any genre, but I don't know if historically there was a... I know very little about Vikings other than just swords and scythes and, you know, the lore of fighting monsters in their myths and the boats and the Viking funerals, but I only like baseline information. I have no information about how the female Viking clans or females in the Viking clans behaved or their role in Viking society. So I'm not really sure if I feel like that the romance thing was tacked on as I can't tell if this was supposed to be a Viking story and that was part of it, or if this was a romance story and it's just like, oh, let's set it in Viking territory. I kind of don't really know if the two complement each other or they kind of hinder one another, if that makes any sense.
Well, without reading the full story, I don't think you ever...
No, that's true. Out. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, the first issue doesn't really give me a good enough feel for, like, yes, this makes thematic sense, or it's just two separate story types kind of mashed together. Like, I don't know. Again, and for what that is, it's still really... mostly well written. There was one part where I was kind of like, oh, that was a little cringeworthy. There was nothing like majorly wrong, just one of the things like, I would have used different wording, but whatever.
Well, I feel like you need to explain that one then.
I can't remember what panel or what page it was on, but there was one piece of dialogue that, and I'm not saying this was the word because it wasn't. I mean, there was a panel on one of the pages that I kind of went, oh man, that'd be like if all of a sudden they're like, yes, we will fight alongside Odin, dude. It was just a weird choice of words, and I don't remember what panel, what page, but there was a sentence that felt super...
Out of place,
and I mean, if I looked for it, I could probably find it, but I'm not going to like spend the next 5 minutes flipping pages while I'm on the microphone, but...
Examples are good enough.
There's just one part like where I was like, oh, that was a weird choice of words, because it kind of took... It was one of those little like things where it reminds you like, oh yeah, you're just reading a comic. You didn't. It was one of those things like any immersion I may have felt in the story like disappeared instantly with the choice of words used because it felt too current day. So yeah, I mean I'm making it sound like I hated this book. I didn't hate it at all. I actually liked it better than I expected. But I'm still, like, again, having only read one issue, I'm not really sure if I feel that the two subgenres or the two themes mesh well together or not. I mean, they can, but I don't know if I feel that they did here or if it was just, like, let's do this love story about forbidden love. Oh, and it's set in Viking world.
Yeah, I don't know what the attitudes were in the Viking world as far as, homosexuality or whatever, but... without going into great detail just to figure out whether or not it was actually a thing or not, it does set up the story.
I mean, there are ancient warring societies and clans that, like, that was just normal. I mean, the ancient Romans and the ancient Greeks were, like, infamous for, having pretty open and pretty free sexual behavior. I don't know. Again, I know nothing about... I'm not a Viking aficionado in any way.
Right.
I know the show Vikings. I know the few board games and video games that involve Vikings and furry boots. I saw the movie Pathfinder once, and I thought it sucked because the Viking stuff was pretty few and far between. Read the first issue of Black Road, thought it was boring. Although that was more the Crusades, I think. I'm not up to snuff on Viking stuff.
I mean, if you're going to start looking at every comic to make sure it's, like, Viking. Historically correct, then you're not going to enjoy it.
But I don't even know if it's lore correct, is what I'm saying. Because I don't know a lot about Viking lore. Maybe there's not a lot to know. I don't know.
I guess I don't know what else you're confused about. But
I guess, like I just said, I know the Bayer basics of Viking lore, and I don't know if this story... I don't know.
Well, anywho, I feel like we're... sitting pretty heavy on this topic, so I feel like we should just move along. Outside of what we've already said, there's really not much else to it. It's kind of, I don't want to say it's like super short or anything, but I'd say we're pretty much ready to number it at this point, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, again, I just, maybe it's just the time of day that I read it that I just was kind of like, I don't know if I feel like this fits. But, again, I didn't hate it, so.
Well, most of the internet thinks it's amazing with anywhere from a 9.5 to a 10. I'm not that crazy about it, but wow. I did really enjoy it. I didn't think I was going to enjoy it as much as I did. Not to be a dick, but just because it was Chris's pick and he was super pumped about it and he doesn't have the greatest track record of picking... books that I'm enthused about. You know, we like different things or whatever, but I really did enjoy this. And I can safely give it, so far, with just the first issue down, I'll give it like an 8.5. Like, I really like this book.
Wow, that's really high. I'm at a 7. Again, the artwork is really, really good. The writing is mostly good. Again, the themes kind of... clashing makes me not really sure if I would love it long enough to stick with it or buy a trade. However, this company, Vault Comics, I never heard of them before, and I'm thinking they're sort of new, but they put some previews of other books of theirs. One particular is called Fissure, and I read the preview of it, and I really was impressed. I mean, it was a 3-page preview, but man, I really, really liked what I read from Fissure, so I may be trying to keep Vault Comics on my radar now, because plus I seem to kind of like their philosophy of doing low print runs, and I don't know, I think that that could be a good thing for various reasons, but yeah, Vault Comics, the company, I'm going to try and keep on my radar now, because like I said, this was better than I expected, even though I was kind of not fully all the way into it, but also Fissure is one that is now on my radar for future reading.
Moving right along into the over-under for the week, it's going to be a short show. It just is. There's only two of us, not much really going on, so Just enjoy it, I guess. Enjoy, wow. Enjoy the short show for the week.
That's heavy.
Well, sometimes we have a tendency to go super long, so I'm just saying it's.
You're welcome.
This is This is the short version. Do you? Yes. Do you? Yes.
Good. You're married.
Kiss her. Little space balls for you. Anyway, whatever. Getting off track. Over under about Vikings. Overrated when it comes to Vikings. I'm going to go football. Nailed it. Only because I can't think of much else. And especially, now I'm not going to ever say I was the biggest football fan. Like, I never did this fantasy football crap. I never sat around and, like, you know, made football my life. But for a good couple of years there, I'd watch football. I would bet on football. And it was a lot of fun, but I feel like the last 5, 6, 7 years, they've changed so many of the rules that it's just, I don't know, I can't stand football anymore. I liked it for a few years, it was kind of fun to watch, but now I just feel like it's a waste of time.
I don't hate football or like it really anymore, I feel like it cuts into my board game time, so that's why I don't really watch it now. Plus, I mean, the Bears are always terrible, and I can anticipate that, so, yeah.
It still amazes me when people are like, oh, can you believe they lost? I'm like, dude, you know you're talking about the Bears, right? Can you believe that they – are you surprised that they lost? I mean, come on.
Kind of surprised they're still a team, to be honest.
I know, right?
There is one thing about the Vikings – well, two things about the Vikings football team that I do like, though. Whenever I think of the Vikings now, I always think of Marshall Erickson from How I Met Your Mother. So that rules.
That's actually awesome.
And the second reason is the former kicker, Chris Cluey, is a huge gamer, board and video. And he owns a board game store, and he's got more than one board game or card game project in the works with Victory Point Games. So he's not some, you know, Johnny-come-lately celebrity. He's like, oh, I'm going to put a board game out because it's the cool thing to do. Like, he is a legit, serious hardcore gamer, and that guy rules because he wrote that super long letter to that senator from Maryland who tried to put the kibosh on LGBT rights. So that guy kicks ass, and he's really good at Magic the Gathering too, believe it or not. And he's gotten some of his NFL friends to play board and card games. Pretty cool. So maybe one day me and Lance Briggs will sit down and play Vikings the board game. I don't know. My overrated, and this is gonna be weird because one of my favorite bands falls into this category. But I'm kind of not super enthused about Viking black metal, because black metal on its own is already kind of, I mean, it's already kind of silly as it is. But when you add the Viking thing on top to try to legitimize it, it's like, all right, I get it. You're from Norway. Okay, fine. But the Vikings haven't been around in hundreds of years. It's not like the Viking clans disappeared in the early 1900s, and you're like, oh, my grandfather was a Viking. Your ancestors that were Vikings died generations and generations and generations ago. So trying to revive the whole Viking thing is like some legitimate excuse to. I just think it's cheesy.
I don't get what black metal has to do with Vikings. I mean, I know, besides the fact that some of them bands exist in Norway. What's the point?
I think certain way too.
Because I mean, wasn't black metal wasn't the whole thing about like Satan? And now they're trying to make it about Odin.
It depends on what bands and what people you ask. I know some people take it way too serious. Like some people take everything. Like you got your Magic the Gathering players, and you got your Magic players who think they're going to the top eight. Two different types of people. People who think they're top eight material generally tend to be more annoying.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the smallest infraction and they have a heart attack. You can't untap! It's like, all right, calm down. I'll play the way you want. Kind of the same thing with people who take the Viking metal thing way too seriously. My opinion. Now, I'm sure if somebody heard this, they'd be like, you're a fucking blah. Whatever. But that said, Enslaved does rule. And I guess they kind of fall into that category. But I'll give them a pass because they rule.
Yeah, I'm not big on black metal at all. So, I mean, if Jamie was here, you guys would probably spend the next hour talking about it. But
no, because I really only like three or four bands.
Yeah, either way. Underrated for me is actually going to be the History Channel TV show Vikings, because I have told every single person I know to watch it, and nobody has except for Jeff. And me and Jeff both dork out about this show. We watched the first two seasons on lunch at work, and after the second season finale, we were both like pacing around my office, ready to flip desks and punch anybody in the face who thwarted our love for Odin.
And vote Viking black metal?
No, I can give a shit about Viking black metal. Black metal's terrible. I don't care what anybody says. That show is absolutely amazing. It is the Viking version of what Sons of Anarchy should have been, because that show was so bad by the end. Vikings is just amazing.
You're saying that an entire season of Jax Teller like murdering everybody in sight within a 5 mile square, 5 square mile range is totally unrealistic?
See, I don't feel like the murdering was all that bad. I just feel like, they spent too much time trying to figure shit out. They dragged everything out in that show so fucking much. Like, I really, not gonna lie, Clay, what's the stupid actor? I can't think of
his name. Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman is one of my favorite actors. The guy rules. He should not have survived anywhere near as long as he did in that show. They were talking about killing him in the second season. He lasted until season, what, 5?
I think 5 or 6, yeah.
No, that should not have happened. His son getting kidnapped, and the very next episode, they're in Ireland looking for him, and it takes them 9 episodes to find him? No. There's just every time something minor happened in that show, they'd spend the rest of the season trying to fucking figure it out, and it was so lame.
Plus, for me with that show, and not to get off topic, even though we already have, one of the frustrating things about Sons of Anarchy that really started to take shape in season 3 and beyond was the first season was Jax was married to Wendy, and he was really pining for name?
Clay.
No. Maggie Smith's character.
Yeah.
Can't remember her name.
Wife.
We'll call her
number two.
Wife number two. So he's pining for her. He finally gets her. And he kind of does, like, fool around a bit around the edges in season 2 and a little bit in season 3. But, like, season 3 is when they really start to do the whole romance triangle, cheating on, I forget her name. Wendy was the first wife. Sarah, I don't know. I can't remember right now. It's been a while since I watched Sons of Anarchy. But because all the ladies that like that show love Jax Teller, especially a naked Jax Teller, so they really pushed...
Tara,
yes. Okay, they really pushed the infidelity angle with him every season to the point of no return, and it was not necessary. I get it that bikers traditionally are not the most romantically faithful stereotype in the world or whatever, but it was like they had to have Jax have some kind of romantic infraction so they can get him naked more often. And it was like, dude, I don't want to see this crap. I don't tune into the show to see Jax and his mistresses. I tune into the show to see the dynamic of a criminal organization and certain people trying to pull it one way or the other. That's what made the show compelling, and they sort of got away from that a little too often with all the wacky romance stuff. I wasn't into it.
I mean, I finished it. I wouldn't say it was the worst show I've ever watched.
I watched the 7th season in a haze.
Justified did it right. You knew you were super popular. You knew you weren't going to last forever, so you stopped after 5 seasons because you knew that it was just time. You don't drag it out for the money.
I feel like Justified wasn't nearly as popular as Sons of Anarchy.
It wasn't.
Not even like a fraction as popular.
Yeah, it wasn't. But I mean, if they would have got What's His Nuts naked every other week, it probably would have been.
Yeah, they really didn't push.
When you start catering, no offense to any listeners, but when you start catering to soccer moms, you know, and you go from watching Mike and Molly to Sons of Anarchy, you know, you're not watching it for the crime drama and the organized crime aspect. You're watching it for the soap opera drama love story aspect of it. And then that's where your viewers are, so that's where your story kind of starts to change into, and it's just ruined it. Ruined a good show.
Maybe it was always going to turn out that way. I have no idea.
It's possible, but I don't know.
Like I said, to wrap up the Sons of Anarchy talk, first three seasons are about as perfect of television as you're ever going to find. Seasons 4 through 7, you'll have a hit here or there, interesting thing here or there, but all told, those last four seasons, you could have condensed down to 2 and got way more out of it. But whatever. My underrated for Vikings. I'm going to pick Blood Rage.
Oh, okay.
We did a podcast on Blood Rage a couple months ago after playing it a couple times, and all of us were basically of the mind like, yeah, it's a good game, but I mean, come on, the way people were talking about it, like, it's the savior of board games, like, give it a rest. It's just a good, barely a good game. So fast forward to a week ago Monday, and we went over to Chris's house, and we broke it out again. And I'm not just saying this because I won, which I definitely did, but something about the player, and I don't know if it was just the player interaction this time around, or it was just the moving through the turns quicker or whatever, kind of having a better grasp on what you need and want to do. But man, that game just, aside from the constant getting up from the table to go upstairs, to go let the dog out, to do whatever was going on that slowed the game down unnecessarily, when the game was moving, it was moving. And I was like, man, this game is, I like this a lot better this time. Plus, like, the second, third time around, you start to know, like, you want to kind of balance out your quest versus your combat versus your, you know, upgrades. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I would probably notch it up about another number score or even a little higher even, because I think I gave it a 7 on the podcast. I'd probably give it about an 8.5 now. Like, I'm, like, psyched.
Why I say we should play more before we review stuff.
I don't know. Sometimes you just know. Other times, like, you know, it depends. I don't know. I really enjoyed it this time. And I'm, like, looking forward to breaking it out again.
Not gonna lie. Not to be all, like, you know, not trying to, like, push Chris out or nothing. But, like, every time I go to the store and see that game, I was like, I should just buy this. Like, same thing with Scythe. Like, it's awesome when Chris comes over and brings them with, or, you know, when we go over there and play. It's awesome. But he does live, like, 40, 45 minutes away, depending on traffic. So, like, sometimes it's not always feasible. So it's like, well, do I really want to wait 3 more weeks for Chris to possibly come over with this? Especially after his new daughter is born? Like, I don't think we're going to be seeing him or those games anytime soon.
He always leaves the games here.
He could, but he won't. That's the one thing I like about Jeff. Jeff buys a game, he leaves it fucking here. Outside of his ships for X-Wing.
That was a good thing. Jeff liked Blood Rage so much, he said he was thinking about buying a copy. So
yeah, he actually, but he felt the fury just like I did, because the second round, every single turn, somebody screwed me out of my turn, and I didn't get shit done the entire second round. And that's what happened to Jeff in the third round. And I was like, well, good, now you know how the fuck I felt.
It gets the blood rage going.
Oh my, does it ever. I love games that get the blood going. You know what I mean?
It happened to me once during the game, actually twice, but one time in particular that really stung. And when Chris, he recruited, I don't think it was the Frost Giant, it was the other,
I forget the exact ones, but
it was the one essentially that clears the space you're in.
Yeah.
And I had 4 guys, and I only needed 1 more to own the area. And he just goes, bloop. And I go, what does that guy do? He goes, owns the whole spot. And I'm like, oh, you ruined my plans. Not that it ruined my game, because I did win. I did win.
Bet you did. I still came pretty close. Like, if I could have pulled off 2 more of moves up on the dial for my on my player board, like, I would have got another 20 points. And I probably would have won, but I couldn't do it. Womp womp. All right, so moving right along to the best thing ever. Huh. Yeah. You know, I got... okay, here we go. I sell comic books on Amazon. I have not sold one in quite some time. I sold one the other day. On top of, within the last week, I also sold a lot of stuff on eBay. So in the last week, I've actually made like $200. give or take. I'm pretty excited about that. Now that I've made like $200 in a week, I'm like, what the fuck else can I sell around this dump? And I'm just like, oh, this Primus Pork Soda dual LP original pressing on brown clear vinyl. Oh, that's worth $150. I mean, I really like that record, but I also like $150.
Yeah, you can also download that thing.
Right. I mean, I have the CD too, so.
No, then I would get rid of the record.
Can't do it. I just love it too much.
Get rid of it.
All but right. Yeah, I need to sell some stuff. I just got to figure out what it is.
All right, my best thing ever is there's a board game, goes by the name of Risk Europe. And when I first saw it in Target stores about a year ago, I was like, man, I really think this game looks neat, but $40, I mean, it's kind of on the average, lower average size side as far as price goes, but I'm like, I don't know, I'm not a big Risk guy. Never really liked Risk. It's too long for the same repetitious sort of actions, so I always kept blowing it off, and then I started watching videos on it, and it started looking more interesting. Long story short, Target is dumping Risk Europe, so they're clearancing out what they have left, and I got the game for $25, so I was pretty stoked about that. Although, I'll say, when I opened the box to look through it, the components, I mean, the plastic pieces are kind of lower grade, but the rest of the game, it's actually pretty good quality. I was impressed because Hasbro's not really known for their gamer games that much. I mean, they do own Wizards of the Coast and Avalon Hill, but they're really not a gamer game company. They're a mass market game company. But
yeah,
they do.
But they can see the tide's turning very quickly.
Oh, I definitely, yeah. I mean, that's why they put out that new Monopoly with the expansions that you can buy all the Mario characters for, because they're trying to bridge the two. They're trying to bridge mass market gaming with gamers, and we'll see how it works. Plus, they're doing their Gamer Crate thing now, too. But, yeah. And, you know, they're also partnering with Gale Force 9 and WizKids to do all these Dungeons & Dragons games that they keep coming out with. Because they're doing a deck builder now. They're doing another of the Adventure System games. And then they got the new Betrayal at Baldur's Gate game, which is basically Betrayal on the House of the Hill, but in, like, a fantasy RPG setting. So, yeah, they're doing stuff. But, yeah, I was really impressed with Risk Europe, at least the pieces. I haven't played it yet. Kind of excited to play it, I'm not going to lie. Which is weird because I generally don't like Risk. But, yeah, I got it for, like, $25. So, if you're listening and you're kind of interested but didn't want to pay $40, now's the time because it's going to be G-O-N-E shortly.
Nailed it. Well, all right. I think that is going to wrap us up for the week. Actually turned out to be a fairly long show, which I'm happy about. So don't forget that you can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. You can find Brian at Pure Rock Fury. And you can find us at Facebook.com/ReviewAndRoast. You can listen to all of our other shows at ComicRoast.com. And you can find us on Patreon, Patreon.com/ReviewAndRoast. Also, if that's too hard for you, well, while you're at reviewandroast.com, you know, rating stuff and writing your own reviews, you can go ahead and just click the Patreon button that we have right there on every page. So, that's that. Have a good week. We'll talk to you soon.